So tonight I'm speaking on patience. The weekly email says it was on kindness, so if you particularly come here So if you want to hear a sermon on kindness, you've got to wait a week or so and be patient. So tonight's reading is Galatians 5, 22 to 23. If Toby, you could bring it up on the screen. Now, it's a really short passage, so rather than just read it and then go straight in the sermon, I thought we'd have a mini Lectio Divina, a kind of meditating on Scripture. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a passage four times with maybe about 20 to 30 seconds in between. So when I read the passage, just let the words wash over you. And in between, in the silence, just meditate. Think about anything which stood out to you, or just listen to what God might be saying. But the fruit of a spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And just one more time. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Tonight, I'm talking about patience, one of the fruits of the Spirit. These fruits are characteristics of God, and these are qualities which the Holy Spirit are growing in us as we live as followers of Jesus. I think these fruits are somewhat interconnected. By practicing and growing in patience, I think we also grow in other fruits, such as kindness and gentleness and self-control. In 1 Corinthians 13, we hear Paul describing love. From verse 4 onwards, he lists a large number of characteristics of love. He begins his list. Love is patient. Love is kind. The list includes a number of fruits of the Spirit, or alludes to fruits of the Spirit. But we see that patience is very much at the forefront of Paul's mind as he talks about love. For the fruits of the Spirit to grow in you, this requires spending time with God. John 15:4 says, "Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Remaining in Jesus means spending time with him, and remaining suggests patience. It suggests slowness. It suggests quality, unhurried time. When I think about the fruits of the Spirit, I often think of a tree, like an apple tree or a pear tree. In Stephen Cottrell's book, Dear England, he talks about being interviewed about his love of trees. He writes, "I told the interviewer how I loved the resolute stillness of a tree, the way it accepted what it was and where it was, and the way it worked in harmonious collaboration with the grass, plants, and animals around it. For several years, I've been working on a poem about trees that I can never quite figure out to conclude. But I'm pleased with the opening line. It begins, 'You are extremely good at standing still.' A tree is rooted, literally, in time and space. It moves by going deeper and growing higher, not by travelling somewhere else. It is in tune with a habitat and contributes things back in the symphonic equilibrium of giving and receiving. Trees know how to adapt. They accept the difference of each season. A tree in winter is no less healthy than a tree in spring, provided there are nutrients in the soil, sun in the sky, water in the clouds, and bees to pollinate their flowers, they know that fruitfulness comes in due season. Trees pay attention to their roots. They know that in this way, fruitfulness will take care of itself. We, on the other hand, are more fidgety. We find it increasingly more difficult to be present. We are always looking over our shoulder. We anxiously fret about the future. We rake over the past. We have almost completely lost the ability to grow and flourish where we are, let alone seek the interior growth that comes from putting down deep roots. We want instant year-round fruitfulness with grafts that only ever surge upwards in one direction. It works for a season, just about, but then it kills us. A life lived in community with God is a rooted life. It is a life of seasons. It is a life lived in interdependence with others. It makes us, as the first psalm in the Bible puts it, like trees planted by streams of living water, yielding fruit in due season, and whose leaves do not wither. Psalm 1, which is one of my favourite psalms, Psalm 1, which Stephen Cotchell refers to, reads, "Happy are those, or blessed are those, who do not follow the advice of a wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper." A tree does a lot. It provides shelter and homes for birds, animals, and insects. It lives symbiotically with fungus. It keeps the soil firm and stable. Its leaves provide cover for the ground, and the leaves then feed the soil. Its fruit feeds others. The seed of its fruit gives birth to the next generation of trees. It lives with community with other trees. Scientists have discovered that trees communicate with each other through its underground root systems. If one tree is attacked by pests or diseases, it alerts other trees via signals so that they can activate their defense systems. But the life of a tree is also about receiving. It takes in carbon dioxide from the air. It takes in sunlight. Its roots go deep to take in plenty of water and nutrients. And the deeper its roots go, the more water and more nutrients it can take in, and also the more stable it becomes. But a tree's life is also a slow life. It faithfully takes in and gives out. It honours the rhythms of life. It rests when it has to rest, and it produces when the time is right to produce. It is consistent, patiently being rooted and growing over a long period of time. Nowadays, a lot of companies are carbon offsetting by planting a lot of new trees to offset their carbon emissions. I found out recently that young trees do not actually take in a lot of carbon dioxide. Trees become more efficient at taking in CO2 as they mature. It is the older, mature trees which are the real powerhouses at taking in CO2. Planting lots of new trees is good, but we also need the young trees to slowly grow over a long period of time to become old, mature trees which take in lots of carbon dioxide. When we have lots of young trees which are done the slow, faithful work of growing into mature trees, then we have a lot of mature trees doing a lot of good in the world. Trees which do more and more good as they grow and mature. I've just reread John Mark Comer's book, Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. It's a book by a pastor who is going 1,000 miles per hour in his life and was given the advice, you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. One thing I could relate to is when he mentioned that when he was a younger Christian, when he was younger, he used to hear all the time about having quiet daily times, but how he doesn't hear that being mentioned so much nowadays. Having a smartphone in your pocket has its pros and cons. There are so many prayer apps and Bible apps, and you can have devotionals sent to your email and by text message. And they're useful for praying and reading the Bible on the go. But I can go through periods where I'm praying on the go at a fast pace, with lots of little chunks of prayer and study here and there in lots of little bits, but not slowing down and really being present with God. It's the times when I intentionally carve out time with God, slow, unhurried time with no distractions, just focusing on God, that I really connect with God And often this time with God spills out into the day ahead. In his book, 3 Mile an Hour God, Japanese theologian Kozuki Koyama wrote, "God walks slowly because he is love. If he is not love, he would have gone much faster. Love has its speed. It is an inner speed. It is a spiritual speed. It is a different kind of speed from the theological speed to which we are accustomed. It is slow, yet it is Lord over all other speeds, since it is the speed of love." John Ortberg wrote, "The average iPhone user touches his or her phone 2,617 times a day. By way of contrast, the psalmist in Psalm 16 said, 'I have set the Lord always before me.' What would my life be like if God touched my mind as frequently as I touch my phone? Previous generations of Christian writers have written about the problems of distraction even many years before the invention of a smartphone. In 1978, Richard Foster wrote, "Superficiality is a curse of our age. The desperate need today is not for a greater number of intelligent people or gifted people, but for deep people." Now we have these devices in our pockets, and there are lots of very clever people in the tech industry whose jobs it is to make us addicted to our phones. This means that we have to be aware of how we spend our time and to develop practices to make sure that we slow down and engage with God. Unlike trees, we can move and we can choose where we plant ourselves. We can choose to plant ourselves in good soil by streams of living water. But we can also move around too much and never settle long enough to become rooted. I find it helpful to have practices to turn my attention to God during the day. At times during the day, to take a deep breath and to say a centering phrase. A centering phrase such as, "In you I live," or "In you I delight," just to bring myself back to God. Or when I'm walking, to become aware of my footsteps as I walk and to say a phrase as I walk, such as, "I walk in your love." I love to spend dedicated times of quiet where I put away my phone and focus on God, to pray and read my Bible and to spend time with him in silence. I find these times refresh my soul. One practice I use is centering prayer, and I thought we'd spend the last 5 minutes in a short period of centering prayer. So I'm going to put a time on my phone. And if you've never used centering prayer before, it's basically silent prayer. Just sit in silence, but engage with God. So you choose a word, so it can be Jesus or Father or peace. And you sit in silence before God. And if you find your mind wanders, if you start thinking about the England match later on, or you become lose yourself in your thoughts, yeah, just say, "Father," and bring yourself back to centre with God. So, ready? Okay, let's begin.